All right, welcome to week
two.
Never get used to that. All right, welcome to week two, or episode two of the spread, week three. Time to come clean on last week. It was a good one. If you listened, went 11-4 in the NFL. And it got off to a wild start with that Broncos game where Peyton, quite frankly, he got it done. I mean, the guy definitely doesn't have his fastball anymore, but we've seen with some other guys, you can still be effective without having the zip you used to have. If he can keep from turning over the ball and let their defense do their job, the Broncos are still going to be a threat to win the AFC. So that was how it started. It was kind of a wild finish with that fumble to the house. But hey, a win is a win is a win is gambling in gambling, and we'll take it any way we can get it. So one of the games I was wrong on, one of the only ones, was the Vikings-Lions. I thought after watching that ugly display the Vikings put on in week one against the Niners, I kind of thought they were a fraud team. And I said they didn't give Peterson the ball that week, and they didn't. But this week they corrected that, and that's really why they won the game. I mean, they gave him 29 carries. And he rushed for almost 200 yards all-purpose, 134 of those coming on the ground. So they made it a point of their game plan to get him the ball, and he's the best player on the team. So if they can get him the ball, they have a good enough defense to make some things happen. I still don't buy them moving forward. I just don't think they're a good team. I don't think Bridgewater's good. But if they can get Peterson the ball and let him do his thing, they can be much more effective than they were in that shit show week one against the 49ers. But I'll admit it, I was wrong on that one. The other one I was big on was the Cardinals against the Bears. The Bears did their thing. They played like garbage. Cardinals special teams dominated. Palmer threw four touchdowns. Fitzgerald had three of them, which was a shocker to me. That was as many as he had the entire season last year. But this is a team, this is a team I talked about last week as being a really, really good team that can make moves in the playoffs because they have the defense to do it. But it all hinges on Palmer staying healthy. I'm not expecting Fitzgerald to have a season where he catches three touchdowns a week. If you have him in fantasy, I'd say try and deal him. I'm trying to. But this team is very, very good. Chris Johnson stepped in because Ellington was hurt and did fine. Chris Johnson, I know obviously because I watched him with the Jets. He's not going to do much. He goes down if you touch him. I'm not expecting him to get revitalized in the Cardinals offense by any means. But between him and Ellington, they have a good combination. Neither of them are really a tough, hard-nosed runner, but between the two of them, they can definitely be effective in the run game, and their defense is really good. Palmer's really good. They have a solid receiving core. I expect big things out of the Cardinals this year, especially since the division that the past 3 years or so they've had to play the Seahawks twice and the Niners twice. Now the Niners aren't as good. They got thumped by the Steelers, and the Seahawks have struggled. I think they have a good chance to potentially win the division if they can get the Seahawks. If they can take one or two with the Seahawks, I think they could win that division and avoid the wild card situation, which would be huge for the entire NFC playoff picture because it means you're taking Seattle out of home field advantage where they are, as we've seen, nothing special. That's another game I was actually wrong on. I had the Seahawks against the Packers on Sunday Night Football, and they lost. I mean, they had some turnovers. That game could have easily gone in a different direction. But they did lose, and they did not cover the spread. They're 0-2. But don't forget, they're 0-2 both games they played on the road. Even the year they won the Super Bowl, they were a disaster on the road. Last year they were better, but the team, the Seahawks, are great because of what they do at home, not on the road. So that's something to not – let's not lose our minds about the Seahawks. They still have the third best odds to win the Super Bowl. So let's not start jumping off buildings in Seattle just yet because Vegas is pretty good at what they do, and they have them third to win the Super Bowl. So don't freak out if you're a Seahawk fan. Patriots-Bills last week, that was another one that I had. The Patriots give me Brady against Buffalo any day of the week. He did his thing, three touchdowns, 466 yards. He threw it 59 times. And Brady throws the ball more or less in the shorter routes. And either way, if you're chucking it 60 times, for 466 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. You're putting on a clinic, especially against the Bills defense that I think is pretty damn good. Bengals, that was another one I was right on. They love winning games in September. It doesn't mean anything. Dalton still sucks. If you're a Bengals fan, get really excited about your first-round playoff out because it's going to happen again, and it's going to keep happening until you make a much bigger change. You haven't really even made any changes, so I don't know what you expect. You've gotten the same thing out of Dalton and Lewis for about 5 years in a row now, and you're not going to get anything different this year. You're going to play. I think you're probably going to win the division because the division has gotten – well, Steelers will be tough, but either way, I think the Bengals will make the playoffs. Because they have that, the talent is there and their defense is very good. Holding Phillip Rivers and the Chargers offense to only 19 points it's impressive. And they have the players like Giovanni Bernard. I talked about him last week. He's before Jeremy Hill got there, he was a stud running back. He got the ball 20 times and ran for 123 yards. Like, this team has talent. AJ Green caught an amazing touchdown. Marvin Jones caught a long touchdown. But at the end of the day, Andy Dalton's going to be Andy Dalton. Marvin Lewis is going to be Marvin Lewis, and they're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs, just like they do every single year. The other thing I called it that Mariota was going to have a reality check, had the highest QBR of any quarterback in week one. This week, QBR 29.7. He came back down to earth just like I thought he would. They lost to the Browns. Don't know why the Browns are benching Manziel. Don't understand it at all. He beat the Titans for you. He won a game that, quite frankly, I don't know if you win with McCown. I know he only threw the ball 15 times, but that's all he needed to do. They were ahead. He managed the game, and that was the knock on him for a lot of people. Can he just manage a game and not make mistakes, not turn the ball over? And that's exactly what he did. He made a couple of big throws down the field to Travis Benjamin, who had a huge day. So I don't understand why you would go back to McCown. You know what you're going to get out of McCown. If you stick with Manziel, at least you find out if you have a guy you can move forward with. But if you go with McCown and he's not good, and we know he's not good, so you go with McCown, he's not good, then you're still up in the air on if Manziel's the guy. You don't know what you're doing going into next year. And if you give him another chance, this week you're at home against Oakland. So that's another game he could win, and you could give him some real confidence. But if you keep moving these guys back and forth to the bench, because you know what's going to happen is McCown at some point is going to throw a couple interceptions, and they're going to bring in Manziel mid-game, and that's not a formula for success at all. So I don't like it. I don't like it at all, really. Giants did a little more than I thought they would. I had the Falcons, another winner on that one. But the Giants were in position to win that game too, and they blew it. So I think that's just something that you're going to have to get used to if you're a Giants fan. This team, it was all the problems we saw with Rashad Jennings and Eli last week that I talked about are not things that are going to go away. And they blew it again in the fourth quarter. So those problems between your quarterback making dumb decisions down the stretch, guys questioning each other, it's just not a recipe for winning tough games. And if you're the New York Giants, you're not good enough to not win the tough games. You have to win games when you're leading in the fourth quarter because you're not going to be winning every game because you're not that good. You're not terrible, but you're not good enough to blow leads and still have a chance. And they're in a division now with the Eagles playing like shit and the Cowboys have these injury problems and the Redskins aren't any good. They're in a situation in a division where if they had even not blown one of these games, they're 1-1. They're still in a position. They're still in a position at 0-2 to potentially win the division if they can get it together. I don't think they will, and I think all we've seen in the first 2 weeks is that they're the kind of team that isn't going to get it together. Another one I was on the money on was the Rams having a big hangover from that Seahawks win. Matt Jones tore them apart for the Skins. Skins won outright. We knew it was a terrible week for anyone in our survivor pool. My survivor pool had every single team lose this week. Everyone was either on the Ravens, the Dolphins, the Rams, the Colts, or the Saints. They all lost. So it was actually pretty lucky because now we're all back in. I was on the Cowboys. That spread was just too big. The Eagles were catching. Eagles were giving a touchdown to the Cowboys. And we haven't seen anything. I said it last week, and I'm going to say it all season until I'm proved wrong. The Eagles are a fraud team. The offense is it's for college football, but it's not going to work in the NFL. I mean, it's like I said last week, as much as it worked last year, they didn't even make the playoffs. So it's like, I don't know why everyone's so quick to crown Chip Kelly when he's in a situation where he actually hasn't ever done anything that would give the Eagles fans reason to believe he'll be successful in any way. So that was too big a spread. I was on the Cowboys. Like I said, I was wrong on the Seahawks. Jets 120-7. My New York Jets are the talk of the town. We got the best defense in the NFL. Argue with me would be the Broncos, but the Jets have forced 10 turnovers in the first two games. No team's done that since the 1992 Steelers, which is obviously a very good look for my New York Jets. And we're playing Philly this week, and that soft Philly offense expected to get blown up by that New York Jet defense. We have some injuries, but we are very, very good on the defensive side of the ball. And if Fitzpatrick can keep just being solid and Brandon Marshall can keep being the number one receiver the Jets have missed for about a decade, the Jets could be tough this year. Don't count the Jets out for the playoffs. I just made a bet with one of my buddies that they would go above 500. Moron, we're already 2-0. So I love the Jets this year. I love what we're doing. I like us against Philly. We're giving the Eagles 5, which is alarming to me because if you had told anybody at the start of the season the Jets were going to be giving the Eagles 5, I tell you, you're crazy. The other crazy is on the Jets also, so everyone loves the Jets. But I do too. I usually don't love going with the side that 62% of the betting public is on. But in this case, I will, because for a team like the Eagles that run that soft offense, that we can just blow up and we can get to Bradford. Wouldn't surprise me at all. In fact, I'm almost expecting at some point Bradford to get knocked out of this game and Sanchez come in, because that would just be a classic storyline if we got Sanchez going up against this revamped Jets D, going up trying to throw passes to his guys while they're covered by his former Golden Boys, Revis and Cromartie, who led him, yes, the cornerbacks led the quarterback to back-to-back AFC Championship games. So it would just be a perfect storyline if the Jets knocked out Bradford and then Revis and Cromartie both had a couple picks on your boy Mark the Sanchez. So I love the Jets, but I'm also kind of I'm a homer, so don't trust me completely on that. But so I think that's a good transition to get us into picks for this week. Give me one sec. I'm trying to. All right. I'm trying to. I got a guy trying to call in. I'm trying to get him through. So it might be a second for him, but we're gonna just move on, and I'm gonna get to some of my picks. And I think he's gonna be looking to talk about the Thursday night game. So I'm gonna wait on that one and get into some of the other ones. So let's move on. This the first 1 o'clock Sunday game I like is the Cowboys Falcons game. Everybody and their brother is on the Atlanta Falcons. 67% of the people's of the betting public is on the Falcons. This game I think is going to end up pretty close to around a pick 'em, definitely inside a field goal. I've seen it at one recently today. And I really do love the Cowboys in this one. I think people are really high on the Falcons, and I am too. I like the Falcons. I like what they're doing, but they're not that next level team. Don't forget about what the Cowboys did to the Eagles on the road last week after Romo left and Dez wasn't playing. So the Cowboys are by no stretch of the imagination a bad team without those guys. They're not the team that won the division last year, and they're not, you know, a Super Bowl contender, but they're not a bad team. And I love what they've done against the Falcons. The Falcons are 1-5 straight up in their last six road games. They beat the Giants last week, obviously. Cowboys are 6-2 in their last eight against the spread, and they're 7-1 straight up. So this team is good, and they have pieces to be good. And their offensive line is get enough credit for gamblers, because that O-line can give Whedon time, and the running backs can still be effective. The worst thing a backup quarterback can do is walk into a situation where there's pressure all day long. Whedon won't be walking into that situation. And I've seen enough of Whedon to believe that he can manage a game well against a team that's not great on the road and get the job done. Obviously, what Jerry Jones said was preposterous about him being – what did he say? It was like – it's like magical to – something like it's magical to watch Brandon Whedon throw the ball. That's a bit ridiculous, but – on some level, he is good enough to win games. But beyond that, I'm going to go – the next one I like is Cleveland at home against Oakland. And this is one that's a tough one to get into because, in all honesty, this McCown-Manziel situation is kind of a disaster. But – I'm still going to take Cleveland. They're 4-2 in their last six against the spread. Oakland's 2-4. But the big piece in this one that I like, and this is something that some people that gamble don't think about as much as they should, but the coast-to-coast games are brutal. It's not easy to fly from the East Coast to the West Coast or West Coast to the East Coast. Your time zones are screwed up, and you see it week in, week out. It played a factor into San Diego-Cincinnati game. Cincinnati beat San Diego, a team I think is better than them, but they had to go across the country play in Cincinnati, and they lost. Baltimore had to fly to Oakland last week and lost. So it happened. So Oakland's flying to Cleveland, coast-to-coast game. Everybody loves Oakland. It's 62% of the betting public's on Oakland. For all those reasons, I like Cleveland. And the only reason I think this would end up getting derailed would be because of the McCown-Manziel situation. That whole thing is a total fiasco, but if McCown can come in and do his job, let the defense and special teams play well, let Travis Benjamin make a couple plays, then I think Cleveland potentially could win this game, and they're catching five. It'll probably end up being closer to three, but I love Cleveland in this one. These next two picks are my two locks of the week, and they're both absolutely love both of them. First one, this is my favorite one: Houston Texans favored by 6 with the Bucks coming into town. Houston has struggled this year, but I think they right the ship at home with Tampa Bay coming in. The defense looked still not great, but it looked better against Carolina. And they're basically seeing what Jameis Winston is similar to Cam Newton. He's big. He can run, not as well as Newton. But so their look here is actually, with regard to the quarterback, is basically they're just going to see a worse version of the same guy they saw last week. With regard to Newton, Tampa Bay is 0-7 against the spread in their last seven against the AFC South. 61% of the betting public is taking Tampa Bay. I love going against the spread, as you've seen now. That's a trend I like. Mallett was thrown into a bad situation. Panthers have a good defense. He had to go on the road. And he was only named the starter for 7 days. And if we've seen anything from Mallett, it's he has a hard time motivating himself when he's not in the driver's seat. I mean, for Christ's sake, the guy fucking skipped practice when Hoyer was named the starter. Hoyer should have never been named the starter, but have some professionalism. I think with 2 weeks, I think he'll be much more prepared. He'll be at home, and the Bucks just aren't any good. They beat the Saints last week, but the Saints suck. Let's not get it twisted there. The Saints are not in good. So don't look too much into that win for Tampa Bay. They still got mauled by Tennessee in week one. They're still garbage. I expect Houston to get their first win, take care of business. Wouldn't be surprised if Watt made to force some turnovers in the backfield. And I think Hopkins will have a big game because Mallett looks to Hopkins a lot. We saw it in preseason. We've seen it. We saw it when he came in for Hoyer in week one. I expect Hopkins to have a big game. Tampa Bay's defense isn't that good. I think Mallett should be able to make some things happen. But mostly I like that one because Tampa Bay is really just trash. Another one, this is my second lock of the week. Chargers going into Minnesota. The Chargers are a damn good football team. Minnesota, I still don't think they are. I think the Lions made the Vikings look the Lions made the Vikings look a lot better than they are. The Vikings still aren't that good, and the Chargers, I think, are. Because I think the Bengals are good, and we've seen anything out of the Bengals, they can win regular season football games. And the Chargers played them pretty tough in week two on the road. And the Vikings looked good against the Lions at home in week one. So I believe in this Chargers team, and I think Phillip Rivers is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he doesn't get all the respect he probably should. It is what it is with regard to him. And guess what? Chargers are 9-1-1 against the spread in September in their last 11 games. They're a very good football team, and that one loss was last week to the Bengals against the spread. So before that loss last week, they hadn't been beaten against the spread in September in 10 games. I'll take my chances with that. The Vikings are 1-5 against the spread as favorites. And they're just giving up too many points for me. Like, I think the Chargers are a better team, and they're catching 7, probably end up being closer to 6, maybe 5.5, 6. And for some reason, 52% of the money's on Minnesota. So I have some real question marks with Minnesota. And if I can catch a touchdown with a better team who's very good in September, feed me all day. The next one I really like is the Seahawks at home against Chicago. Seattle's favored by about 17 points. I've seen a couple things from anywhere to like 15 to 17.5. But I think it's going to be by Sunday about 17. And to be honest, I don't know if there's a number you could put it at. I don't think there's a number you could put it at where it would be too high for me. I think this game is going to be an absolute statement for the Seahawks. You got Cam Chancellor coming back, and you got the Chicago Bears starting Jimmy Clausen, who is an absolute piece of trash. And the Bears as a team are a piece of trash. They're 2-5 in their last 7 against the spread. The Seahawks, I said at the start of the show, their 0-2 start doesn't mean much at all to me. Both those games were on the road. They're going to be coming back home where they are dominant. They have been absolutely dominant at home over the last 3 seasons. They've only lost a handful of games. And the Bears are a total dumpster fire. They might be throwing in the towel on the season. I don't think John Fox is a good coach. What happened last time John Fox played the Seahawks? The Super Bowl when they lost about 100-0? John Fox has no clue what he's doing. He's a piece of trash. Seattle's going to get back on Chance. Cam Chancellor's going to make a statement. The defense is – I would be surprised if the Bears scored more than 10 points, and I think the Seahawks are really going to run it up. And they need to, because, quite frankly, there are a lot of question marks out there about them, a lot of stuff about what Russell Wilson did in the offseason. He was, you know, for a guy who made his – living on being like the hardest working guy and undersized and all that bull. He was in movies and commercials and it was like red carpets. So there's some question marks and I think they're all going to get answered this week. I think Seattle's going to win by at least 3 touchdowns. So 17 points isn't going to hack it for me. That line would have to move up a lot higher for me to not love the Seahawks in this one. Last game I like is the Monday night game, and that's going to be an awesome game. Chiefs going into Lambeau, where Green Bay is obviously very, very good. Green Bay is a 6-point favorite. I think it'll probably hover around that touchdown number. Consensus is actually pretty even. It's 49-51 in favor of the Chiefs. That's not enough to really do much for me. But I like the Chiefs in this one. I think that they kind of got a disaster last week. But they are in a situation now where they played the Thursday night game to a Monday night game. So they have extra time to prepare. That's a full 4 days longer. Green Bay played a night game on Sunday. So it's a shorter week for Green Bay, an extended week for Kansas City. I think Jamaal Charles needs to make a statement after he fumbled that ball. And I'm not positive that Eddie Lacy's going to play. That's obviously a big piece of the puzzle with this game. But I think Kansas City's defense is going to be able to get to Rodgers. Seattle's defense didn't really do that much, and neither did the Bears. So I think this is the first week between Halle and Houston. I think they're going to get some pressure on Rodgers. He might finally make some mistakes. I don't know if that means he's going to throw an interception because he's thrown about 100,000 touchdowns without a pick at home. But just like forcing pressure on him is going to make him speed up through everything. And that's going to be, if Eddie Lacy doesn't play, it's going to be a lot on the back of Rodgers. Wouldn't surprise me if he did get picked off in this one because the Chiefs have the ability to force quarterbacks into some dumb decisions. We saw it happen with Peyton Manning last week. And I think Jamaal Charles has a big game on the ground. So those are my picks for the week. Those are my favorite ones. Sorry we couldn't get any callers through today. But those are my favorite picks. For the other ones, I'll just run through them so that if you're going to bet the board, you can hear what I'm on in every game. So Giants tonight, Cowboys, Colts, Browns, Bengals, Jaguars, Panthers, Saints game. I'm not sure yet because I got to wait and see if Breeze is going to play. Jets, Texans, Chargers, Steelers, Niners, Dolphins, Seahawks, Lions, Chiefs. And that's all. Until next week, thanks for listening.